Well, it's times like these that political correspondents earn their money. The Canberra Times political reporter Sarah Basford-Canales has been on the election trail following Scott Morrison for the last week and joins us now for an inside view of the political world that is ScoMo. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Jeff.
Well, mate, I'm doing okay, but I don't know if I envy you or just worry about you. You spent last week hanging out with ScoMo, mate.
Yeah, I did. You know what? It was an interesting experience. Exhausting, frustrating at times, but it was worthwhile, I think. That's the whole point of, I guess, the game, is that you go on these trails and see kind of behind the mask of the man in charge or the man trying to be in charge.
Yep.
And that was definitely what I experienced this week anyway.
And that's what I'm most curious. I mean, spending that much time with someone, you must surely get to see behind the mask a little bit. What did you see?
It's interesting. I mean, we only really saw him during the pitcher opportunities and obviously at the press conferences. Beyond that, we had no off-the-record drinks during the week that I was there. I know previous weeks had, but we didn't get that opportunity. And that's sort of where you can sort of see what they're like when, you know, the cameras aren't on them and not allowed to report what they're saying. But saying that, at these pitcher opportunities, it was interesting to watch how he spoke to voters and constituents. He was very... very charming, actually. Maybe that doesn't come through on the screen, but he was able to sort of naturally have conversations with people, which isn't something I saw with Albanese in the first week. Now, saying that, these you know, events are extremely, extremely curated. I spoke to a lot of the people just, you know, on the side asking, you know, why they were here, who invited them, et cetera. It was made very clear very quickly that they were all invited by the Liberal Party, and we also saw as well, you know, sort of emails going out to Liberal Party members and supporters to attend these events to try and fill out the numbers. So while he did look very charismatic, it was also because he was among very friendly company in most cases. So again, it's like everyone says, these things are extremely staged on both sides, but I think in Morrison's case, it's a particularly well-oiled machine.
Well, particularly well-oiled. I think it was one of Anthony Albanese's probably better zingers of the week, pointing out the guy that didn't take his national health advisor into quarantine, didn't take his national security advisor into quarantine. He took his photographer.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, it's a criticism that many people have had about Scott Morrison since he became Prime Minister, that, you know, he comes from a marketing background. He's, you know, extremely good at sort of presenting an image, but not necessarily having substance. And, I mean, you can see it happening already, but I do think that those cracks are starting to show. He is really good at controlling the image and the message. I can't, you know, take that away from him. He absolutely is, whereas Albanese, as we probably all know, is a little less polished in terms of being that sort of typical statesman, marketing man, politician that we're seeing with Scott Morrison. But saying that, you can see he's kind of on the ropes, and he does that in really subtle ways. It's not as easy to pick up on with Morrison. But, you know, for example, the RBA rate hike during that press conference, and it might not have been seen on the TVs. It's hard to know exactly because they're very different. But, you know, being there in person, you can see him getting very testy. He sort of moves his body forward and he was very tightly gripping the lectern. And you can sort of see it in the way he blinks as well. I think that's one of the ones he can't really control as much, is the amount of blinks he does and how quickly he does them. And so it seems so subtle and something that most people probably might not pick up if they're not watching him every day. But when we get to see him every day, saying the same messages over and over again, figuring out ways to take it back to his core message, which is strong economy, stronger future, you kind of start to see these little cracks show. And I think it's probably because he's realising time is dwindling down to polling day and the voters aren't really changing their mind according to these polls. And we obviously need to be careful of trusting these polls, as we saw at the last election, but it's still not looking great.
I mean, as you're laying it out there, they're kind of like an opposite image of each other, in that that Scott Morrison seems to be controlling his own game particularly well, but he can't seem to get away from train wrecks like Catherine Deaves or the missing Tudge. Whereas Anthony Albanese's team seem to be toeing the line quite well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was on Albanese's bus for the first week, which, you know, a lot of us might remember as being a bit of a train wreck. But again, it's because it comes back to that idea. Morrison's really good at controlling the pack, the press pack that are asking him questions. And he does that by not answering questions and passing it back to his message. And we, as a press pack, have started to, need to coordinate sort of questions to get him on into areas where he can't just basically filibuster through these press conferences. It was something that we noticed pretty quickly. And, you know, obviously it's been a thing he's done for the last 3 years. But you ask him a question and he doesn't directly answer it. And then he'll speak for about 3 to 4 minutes about policies and the things that he's sort of, you know, really learned just before that press conference. So getting him in the areas where he can't escape a question as well, like we're interjecting, trying to bring him back on message or back to the question that we actually asked. And then when he tries to look for another journalist, hoping that we're competing against each other, hoping that journalist backs us up. And yesterday's press conference, which I was there for, was a really good example of where that works. As opposed to other press conferences where we're all asking, sort of scattergun questions. But yesterday we really just focused on religious discrimination, and it was an area he couldn't really get out of because we all had questions on it. And obviously that's when we saw that he's planning to bring it back. He's sort of rejecting the idea that there are any discrimination against LGBTQIA plus students and staff within religious schools. He is also planning to bring it back separately, so he'll make the amendment to the religious discrimination bill, but won't also introduce those additional protections that will protect gay and lesbian students. And then obviously there's also that lingering issue of trans students not being protected either, and all the same MPs that crossed the floor last time will cross the floor again. They've indicated they haven't changed their position, so it's sort of a failed promise to these religious leaders he can't actually deliver at this point.
Wow. So over the next week or so, over the course of this week, we should probably expect to see him being nailed down a little bit more on that issue.
Yeah, ideally. The thing is, there are so many issues, during the election that, the next day's agenda sort of changes to something else. But obviously yesterday we saw him really get pinned into a corner, which is quite rare for Morrison on this issue. And then we ended up speaking to one of those MPs that crossed the floor just an hour later at the Liberal rally he attended. And she, said that she would not change her mind, and she hadn't spoken to him since the election started. So it's clearly sort of an area he was kind of hoping not to get the focus on, but it definitely was brought back up again. Obviously, today we're probably going to see a bit more on the Solomon Islands, but really it's just a case of whether, the press pack that's following him around can coordinate and sort of back each other up. And we've seen that work really well. And on the days that we don't back each other up, it's sort of, he continues to filibuster his way through these press conferences, limiting the amount of questions he can actually get asked.
Well,
unlike Albanese.
Oh, man, more power to you all, actually. Working together. I mean, this is what the consumers, this is what us out here, the voters, want to see. Well, with less than 2 weeks to go, many voters are apparently still undecided, or are they?
Yeah, it's a good question. Obviously not everyone's politically engaged. There's really kind of a small handful of Australians that are very politically engaged, following the headlines every day. But most Australians might be interested to an extent, or they'll be brought in when it affects them directly, for example, with the cost of living stuff. We saw in some of those news polls that came out late last night that there's still about a quarter of Australians, according to those polls, a third of Australians that aren't fully decided just at this point. So these last 2 weeks are crucial for both leaders and both parties, and obviously the independents to get their message across. most people will sort of make their minds up in that last week or even sometimes on the day. And it really just and this is sort of the critical time for both parties where they announce their biggest stuff, those sweeteners that are supposed to just get them over the line. And I guess we'll see what happens. But in Morrison's case, like during the leaders' debate last night, there's an image issue there for him. Even though he has been pretty good at being the marketing man, it's clear that the messaging coming out of the Liberal Party is you might not like Morrison, but we're the party to deliver you a stronger budget in your own bank, in your own household. And the message for Albanese is this is what they've done over the last 9 years. Let's not forget that at this election. We're promising a better future. So,
yeah, option B seems like the easiest sell.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And because Morrison's, the opinion polls are showing that he's not particularly popular, it's a matter of whether that sort of messaging actually does cut through and they do believe that the Labor Party can't manage the economy as well as the Liberal Party. Honestly, it is a top line thing. Most people aren't going to delve into the policy details at the end of the day, which is a shame. But you know, well, I guess we'll see. We're finally getting to the point where we'll know. And I know that other journalists are very much looking forward to having some time off after that point.
Well, I mean, from the outside here, it seems the whole campaign seems very policy bereft. It is really more about personalities and, you know, what he said or she said. There's very little policy flying around.
Yeah, and part of that is, you know, the coalition's core belief really is sort of maintaining the status quo. That is, you know, by their nature, being on the conservative side of politics, their whole messaging is really stick with the ones you know. You know, we don't always get it right, but we're better than the alternative. Whereas Labor is, we will change the future. We will change things. So give us a go, and you'll have a better life for it, essentially. But, you know, part of being in opposition is that you are supposed to put forward those policy announcements to show why you're different. And we've seen a little bit of it from Labor, but it's probably also partly due to the fact that they've been in opposition for 9 years now. Whereas on the coalition side, it's really just focusing on a re-announcement of a lot of funding stuff or that there is sort of some future planning, but the majority of it really is just like, you know, we'll keep things the way they are. So there's no real push to change anything drastically other than recommit extra funding.
Status quo, but better.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, what do we look out for in the next few days? Like, what will make us clever little political players at the water cooler? What do we look out for?
Well, we'll start to, I mean, really, as I said, this is the critical zone. The first 2 weeks are important. The middle 2 weeks are semi-important, and then we've got the last 2 weeks, which are definitely the most important. That's when those undecided voters will finally make those decisions. And so we'll probably start to see, if we do see a change in tactic from Morrison, which might be to soften his image a bit, comes across, I guess, more generally as a bit arrogant and a bit combative, and some people will, you know, consider him quite smirky as well because of the way he smiles when he's under pressure. So, you know, to see if he does have that fallibility, and we saw it last night, he actually did admit that it was a race for the vaccine and they got it wrong and they chose the wrong wording. And that those sort of concessions from the Prime Minister are very rare. We don't see them very often. He's only really said sorry for his government's handling of things very few times over his 3 years. So if we start seeing him saying sorry a lot more over the last 2 weeks, that's probably a sign from the coalition campaign that they're getting a little bit desperate to change the sort of perception of Morrison as sort of this more stronger leader. And obviously his women's vote isn't particularly high either. So, again, that's probably trying to appeal to those voters who want a softer image that Albanese, on the other hand, does have. He's sort of seen as someone, the underdog, people, while they don't necessarily want a very strong leader, they don't want necessarily a weak leader, they do also want someone that can admit when they're wrong and while Albanese isn't polished, I think people will sort of gravitate towards him because they can see he's sort of just that regular human, right? Despite not, you know, he's still a politician, obviously, and has been in Parliament for 25 years. But he's kind of got that fallibility, and he'll say sorry. And sometimes that might appeal to people at the polling booths if they don't feel like there's any major difference between the two. It will come down to personality. So, yeah, any change in tactics of the last 2 weeks will be a sign of, concern on either side of the major parties.
Yeah, it's just a little bit hard to imagine how Scott Morrison's going to manage to wipe the smirk off his face, because that seems to be what sticks in everyone's craw.
Yeah, it's actually interesting. It's something. It's a tactic that Julia Gillard actually did in the, I think it was the 2010 or the 2013 election, one of them anyway, and she essentially in the last 2 weeks said, you're now going to see the real Julia Gillard. You know, most of my campaign was staged, but now you're going to see the real me for the last 2 weeks. And it didn't really work in her favour. A lot of people were a bit confused about why we hadn't been seeing the real Julia Gillard prior to that, you know. But, you know, obviously, if you're not in their politics every day, that might surprise you. But for us, obviously, we know what that means. So if we see that from Morrison, it's really an indicator that they're hitting the panic button. And they're going to try and if the polls are correct, it could be a landslide to Labor, or it could be that sort of minority government that many people are expecting. But if we see him start to change his tactic, try to look a bit more soft, that might kind of mean that the coalition is trying to sort of recoup as much ground as they can, so it's not a landslide victory towards Labor, or at least towards independence and minority Labor government.
Well, he needs to take some of Mother's advice and wipe that smirk off your face. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us. Look forward to catching up again, because that election's just on the doorstep.
I know. I'll be enjoying my 2 days off before I jump straight back into it again.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Sarah. Catch you soon, mate.
Cheers. Thanks, Jeff.
That's the Canberra Times political correspondent, Sarah Basford-Canales, joining us there.